Brunson, Sabonis, two-man game inside. Domas, dominant, dynamite inside on that one.
Not afraid, and he got some dog in him.
And the steal, they can tie it with a three. Murray, yes! A Murray miracle in the desert!
Welcome back to another episode of the King's Pulse Podcast. My name's Brendan Nunes. Got Hunter Patterson of The Athletic chilling right here. We're in Golden 1 Center not long after the Kings had a tough loss to the Chicago Bulls, which also was not long after a big win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Right. And right before that, a really bad loss to the Denver Nuggets. It's a pretty picture-perfect like example of the season, it feels like. Like, coming into tonight, do you almost expect this sort of thing to go happen?
I won't say I expect it, but it's not something I'm also not expecting to happen
right.
at the same time. It's kind of become a trend, whether we want to address it or not, but it is something that if you want to make a push to be out of this play-in race, you should be trying to avoid, I would say.
Yeah, they definitely need to. And I mean, like, you look at tonight, turnovers were definitely the one. A big theme in post-game was this Chicago team is, I think they allowed the least points in the paint of any team in the league coming into the night. It was clearly known. Mike Brown was saying that was part of our game plan, that we know, you know, you can't get too deep into the paint. And Caruso, when all these dudes are going to get their hands in there and really try to sort of clog things up. And you saw that happen a bunch. Domas gets in foul trouble. Who else was in foul trouble? It was Keegan that was also in foul trouble tonight.
Right.
But it's two quarters. You know, it's that second quarter the Kings put up 20 points, and the fourth quarter they put up 18. And it's like, I think I was telling you or maybe one of the other guys during this game, and it's like this team isn't even like a game-to-game basis. It's quarter-to-quarter.
Yeah.
Like, what team is going to show up?
And in that fourth, you mentioned the turnovers and Mike and De'Aaron. We'll talk about that soon. In the post-game press, we're talking about it, and they being the Kings, they had as many turnovers as they have field goals in the fourth. Six. I believe they were 6 of 20 and had six turnovers, so couple that with DeMar outscoring them by himself. I mean, it's ugly. It's an ugly outcome for you.
What do you think of DeMar's just cooking people in ISO? I know that's what he does.
Yeah. But to see it live like that, walking guys down, and it seems like there's not really much the Kings could do about it as a Hoop fan, I mean, you kind of got to love it.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. As a Kings fan, as obviously many people in the arena were, they weren't happy. But as a Hoop fan at heart, I could appreciate it.
Yeah, which is fair enough. And I think what he had, is it 17 in that?
I think it was 19.
19 on 7-7
yeah.
in that fourth quarter. You said, I don't know if you said this before we started or right now, but there was like the same amount of
turnovers as field goals.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm struggling.
Nah, it's late, bro. It's late. It's Monday night. I feel it. But yeah, Kings were 6 of 20 in the fourth, turned it over 6 times. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah,
that's against any team.
And honestly, De'Aaron needs to be better in that fourth quarter. Like, that's the time where, okay, you know DeMar is going to get to it, but your offense stagnates. And again, when it's that sort of game plan, that's a tough one for De'Aaron for sure. But he still needs to do more than that. I think that he hardly ended up scoring in that fourth quarter. As I tried to piece this together, he had 1 point in that fourth quarter on 0-4 from the field. And it's like, I know sometimes he's like, all right, let's try to get everybody involved. That's kind of the what we're talking about with their defense, right? But at some point, you're also the man, like, go and just get some buckets. Like, I'd rather you go out swinging than, you know, being a little passive. Or that late turnover that he had on the inbound was kind of tough. And actually, I think we could just kind of play. I got one of the clips in here from post game where he talks about that late game turnover. Jake Gaden, CBS, somewhere down there. Shit, you guys might hear him in the background.
Yeah, we could definitely hear him up here. Shout out Jake.
Jake's down there working. asked De'Aaron about kind of getting into details about that play. And then also some of the specifics about those turnovers, like we were just talking about.
Here, can you take me to the inbound pass where you threw it out of bounds and like 30 seconds left? What was the play right there? What was supposed to happen in the action?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we run normally.
And then we had HB on, or Vooch on HB to be like that would usually be Domas, but he fouled out at the time. And I kind of didn't want to take that chance. Obviously, don't want someone that's 6'8 over someone that's 7 foot. And me and Malik just had a miscommunication. He was coming back to the corner. I was trying to throw it over the top to him, and we just didn't get the ball in the mouth.
Some of that late game execution, fourth quarter, and turnovers, I guess, specifically, how much of it do you feel like was kind of them pressuring compared to some of your own mistakes?
I mean, I think most of it was our mistakes. Just getting too deep into the lane. This is a team that doesn't necessarily guard three ball well, but they do guard the paint well. Three, four, five guys in the paint at a time. A lot of hands, and we were just getting too deep into the paint today, and they got their hands on a lot of balls.
Yeah, I mean, like we were just talking about, Darren says most of their mistakes was just kind of getting too deep into the lane. What we just talked about with Chicago, De'Aaron ends up with, I believe it's 5 turnovers tonight, which is a tough one. Domas has the same. What do you make of Domas's night where he goes crazy on the boards, starts off, I think misses his first, who knows how many shots. He was 0-for for a while.
I want to say he was like game 1-for-9 at half.
So, yeah, something like that. And then he totally ran away with it a little bit in that third quarter, but ends up getting in foul trouble and kind of going out. Like, how do you feel about how he did in this one?
Definitely a shaky start. We saw that 1-for-9 in the first. And then, like you said, in the third, he kind of got it going 5-for-5. We know we can count on him for boards any given night. That's not really in question ever. 10 offensive boards, so I'll give him credit there. But yeah, I mean, he clearly struggled against Vucevic. It was just a lot of bunnies he missed.
Yeah.
He wasn't really diversifying his shots too much. And ultimately, I can't really say that cost him, because he was picking up ticky-tack fouls, and that was what kept him out of the game down the stretch. But overall, it was a tough night for Domas.
It was. This is the second game in a row now that he fouled out. I didn't piece that together until right now.
Right.
And, you know, if we kind of talk about these last 3 games really in total, again, that really tough loss to Denver where you have a fine first quarter and then you just get smacked second, third, and fourth. Yeah. To the point where actually after the fact they end up having a players only meeting, which has kind of been a hot topic recently, because they have that players only meeting after the Denver game. And then the next night they go play Minnesota, who's the 1 seed in the West, beat him at home for the second time this year. It's only the 8th home loss Wolves have all year. 2 of them are to the Kings. Now you're 2-1 against that. Again, one of the better teams in the West. And everybody's like, okay, this players only meeting, you know, like dudes are playing hard, like something's needed to be said. And so kind of what we've heard, and, you know, obviously players only is going to mean players only. And
yeah, we get on themselves. So
but I think the general idea that we've gotten over the last couple days sort of media about that was just an opportunity for guys to feel like they can say something pretty much. And some guys are maybe not going to be as willing to be vocal if a coach is around. Like, it's just how some dudes are.
Right.
And Trey Lyles, I guess, was the one to initiate it. De'Aaron said that it was Trey's idea, and he told Trey that he'll back him. And that kind of went from there. And Trey also shared today that Keegan, for example, was somebody that talked a lot in that.
Shout out Keegan.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild. Never would have guessed that one. Like, okay, if you hear a player's, okay, there's a players only meeting, who would you expect to be talking?
Probably a lot of De'Aaron and Malik.
Yeah.
Those two especially. Wouldn't expect much out of Keegan just because he's second year guy. Keegan. Yeah, Keegan. Stepping into a bit more of a leader role, I would say, on the team, but he's not the most vocal. Definitely a pretty stoic guy, but I wouldn't have expected him to be one of the guys stepping up.
Me either. Trey does make sense to me, though.
Definitely.
Especially like the dude initiating. You know, there's definitely a joke somewhere here with his book club that he's got going on. Right. You know, there's something here. I got to figure it out still. But yeah, I mean, after that, it's like, okay, spirits are high, because a lot of it, I think, also was the Kings. Every team in the NBA is going to go on runs. NBA is a game of runs, but how long are you going to let that run last? Because that Denver game, the run lasted 36 minutes,
right?
You know, and then this game against Chicago, there's probably 2 like 8 to 10 minute runs, and really, like, we need to be talking like 5-6 at most,
yeah,
for how long this takes. And so effort was like seemingly a question or just the will and sort of fight of the group. And then you feel great after this Minnesota one. And that kind of had me coming in tonight of like, okay, maybe that's a turning point. And we're right back at it. So like, yeah. I don't know. It's got to be really demoralizing, to be honest, because I feel like there was a little bit of a high that was being ridden after that Minnesota game. And like, oh, maybe we turn the corner, like I'm kind of just saying. And like, this has got to feel a little like just kind of cut your wings a little bit, you know?
It has to. And we heard Mike talking about it post game tonight. Domas reiterated it. I would say he mentioned how it is tough to deal with. De'Aaron called it a roller coaster of a season. And after a win like the one they had a couple nights ago against Minnesota, they're calling it a statement win. Malik said that. Coach Brown said that as well. And it seemed as though it could be, bro. Like, they beat the Timberwolves without De'Aaron. Obviously, Ant left at halftime. But they seem to be all together on a string. Malik obviously took over during the fourth and overtime. But it's just, like you said, it's not even a game-by-game basis anymore. It's more of a quarter-by-quarter thing. Because yeah. They had two quarters tonight where they looked like they were ready to get another win. But they let up. As we said a few times now, DeMar had an incredible fourth and outscored them.
Right.
So there has to be some sort of consistency at some point.
Yeah, definitely. And if anybody happens to be tuning in, listening on live, feel free to drop questions in the chat too. And anybody happens to listen on the audio side, there's always YouTube out there as well. Just saying.
So.
Comments and questions are always appreciated. I think we got some other social questions we'll get to here later in the day too. I feel like we should talk about the Malik performance because that was badass. And, you know, we're here day after or day of the Chicago game, so it feels different.
Right.
But that was wild.
It was
what he did.
And I love the fact that Malik is, he can be reactive a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
He seemed like he wasn't really as engaged. He missed a few shots, only had 4 points. Rudy elbows Domas in like throat after he sidestepped him. No foul was called on Rudy. Malik said something to him as he was headed back down the court. And Malik then goes off for 35 points, bro. It's ridiculous. And that is something we've kind of become accustomed to with him and how he usually rises to the moment in most cases. And tonight, just, it wasn't really going for him.
And this is like the whole thing with Malik, really, right? Like, I remember somebody earlier in the year was asking me, like, what does Malik actually do worse than Zach LaVine? And I was like, I actually get what you're saying because he's a better playmaker. I don't think he gets his shot as effortlessly, but he's a tough shot maker. But the answer is consistency.
Right.
And that's more of a Malik thing rather than like a compliment to Zach or anything.
And Zach, too. I kind of love Malik, love what he does and everything for sure. But with Zach, that could be a 50 piece at any given night almost. And I'm not quite ready to say the same about Malik yet. I know he can get his in spurts when he wants, but a bit of a higher ceiling was that.
There's just these inconsistencies with Malik. You know, you have a night like tonight where it's like 11 points, 4-12, only one turnover, which is good, to six assists compared to how the rest of the night was really going. Because the Kings as a whole, again, 18 turnovers, 24 points. Mike said that pretty much was the game. Not that other aspects didn't matter. There's a lot of things they could have done better defensively. But that's kind of what's, I think, a little frustrating about Malik sometimes, and kind of just where his current ceiling is, where you don't know what you're going to get night to night. But typically, that's your sixth man. You can live with some inconsistencies. But it's tough on a night like tonight where Domas maybe doesn't quite have it going in the same scoring way, or De'Aaron struggles in that fourth quarter. I also think defensively, like in general, there's, before this last game, I'm pretty sure they had been like 30th in the last five games. They are just playing so bad defensively right now, to be honest, except for you get, again, a quarter here and there where you're like, damn, that was some good defense. And all of a sudden, everybody's locking up. But swear, I know this happens a lot throughout the season, to be honest, but these last like four or five games, go back to that Miami game where Jaime Jaquez is like, give me Kevin Herter. You know, and then you get to Denver and it's like Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon kind of doing the same thing, you know, and then you get to the Minnesota game and Anthony Edwards is trying to do the same thing. And now it's DeMar and it's like, and sometimes it's Malik too. Don't get me wrong. But like, if we're looking at that typical main unit, Kevin's kind of getting picked on.
He definitely is, man. And it's
tough to watch.
It's become a theme a little bit. Other teams are aware of it. I think internally, they're aware of it as well. They want to try to, I don't want to say keep him off the floor so he's not being hunted down the stretch, but
he's definitely playing less.
There you go. Yeah, I think everyone is a bit aware of it, but to take it off of Kev a little bit, yeah. I would have, I mean, you mentioned it. I would have liked to see more shots from De'Aaron. He was 0-4, played the entire fourth quarter, and three of his four shots were from three. So that's not really what we had been used to last season. Seemed like he almost saved energy to get to the point where he was able to take over in the fourth. And at this point, we mentioned all the great things that Trey brings to this team, but Trey played less than 8 minutes, just under, and he had five shots that he took in the fourth. So
yeah,
I don't know if that's a real recipe for winning when De'Aaron is in these situations where he's not as aggressive. But again, to cut him some slack as well, first game back after two games off with the left knee contusion. So could just be easing back into things.
Yeah, definitely could be. And there's also like, you know, maybe your doubles could be a little bit more clean and it's not always just on straight up Kevin to be in isolation. And it's not just Kevin either. Like if De'Aaron's not locked in, De'Aaron doesn't look great out there defensively. When he is locked in, he's great. Mm-hmm. But like I think Kevin Herter was just on the Evan Turner and Iguodala podcast called Point Forward. Really good, actually. And at one point he talks about De'Aaron and calls him like one of the biggest flip a switch guys in this league, that when he's locked in, he's a crazy two-way player, mm-hmm. which I feel like is a funny comment because there's a lot to unpack there, right? If you're really good when you try,
but
he also said, of course, like, you know, with how much offensive responsibility you have, you can't do that every single possession defensively too.
Right.
But I do think De'Aaron eventually wants to get to that point, and I think we'll get closer and closer in time. But like asking coach, and he said the same thing after the Miami game of, yeah, for DeMar, that we don't mind double teaming.
Mm-hmm.
It's we cannot be double teaming. Specifically in that Miami game, he was like Bam Adebayo and Kevin Love were the two that were going to double team, which is wild that Kevin Love is part of that, out, by man. The way. But he deserved it that night.
Deep down, I know we talk about this off air, but I am indeed a Heat fan, so it's good to see. But Kevin Love got to be close to, if not touching 40.
Right.
And that's that being
his
a guy
hair,
you want to double.
His hair look way older than
40. Yeah, shouts out a lot of the greats.
Salt and pepper, but, yeah.
Yeah, bro. But, I mean,
it's the next guys. Like, you can't have to double Jaime Jaquez. Right. Or tonight, like, Io, you know? Like, sure, Kobe was playing great, and you could have limited Kobe too, right? He had a career high. Which you pointed out, his last career high was
36 against the Kings in this building. So something about it.
There's something about this building.
Something about
There's
it.
Something about it. But you don't want to have to like double team. You can only double team so many dudes without your entire defensive scheme getting messed up. And it's like mm-hmm. they're trying to throw a zone out there that I think is like this 3-2 that they changed to man after a couple passes. But like that's searching. That's trying to be like, God, we are not good at this. What else can we try right now? And I don't know that there really is answers. Like Chris Duarte is getting more runs. Somebody we talked about has been playing well recently. Tonight's Tech was really bad, by the way.
It was. I don't know. I personally didn't see what made him that upset.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know if it was worth reacting that way.
Not great. And Mike Brown did post-game say that he felt like that was the swing in momentum.
Yeah, not great.
Not great.
But going back to the defense and how they kind of are searching for something a little bit, it seems truthfully like Keegan may be, I don't want to say consistently the only one because De'Aaron has his moments, but Keegan at this point might be the guy I believe in most defensively to bring it every single night.
For sure.
And I don't want to say that's a problem. He is in his second year. He's being tasked with more, but you want everyone to kind of mimic the way he approaches things defensively, and it's not there yet.
That's a good point. I never thought about the dude I feel best about as a second year player.
Yeah, I mean, you love it on one hand because Keegan's taken a lot of great steps this year. He's grown, but at the end of the day, it is only his second year, and he's arguably the most impressive defensively.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and yeah, he's been solid. But then there, you know, tonight, like, DeRozan is a dude that is going to pick on young players.
No question.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's the classic. Everybody says, don't jump. I know I'm not supposed to jump, but God, when he pumps you like 8 times, whoa. No, I'm sorry. That one was crazy.
I'm not even, getting in that. But he's spamming whatever it was on 2K.
Pump fakes, yeah. That's square X, whatever you play, you know.
Matter of fact, too, we could transition. We got a question here from Alex.
We can. Which, what's up, Figs?
What up, bro?
Yeah, he said he missed the players-only meeting discussion. Did they have that before the game? So that was after the Denver game where, again, they got totally smacked after that first quarter. Pretty much rolled over and died, to be honest, was kind of the issue. And then eventually had that players only meeting after Denver, initiated by Trey Lyles, backed by De'Aaron, kind of everybody talks. We don't know how many people, but it gives everybody an opportunity to say something if there's anything on their mind. And then clearly worked in the Minnesota game, or at least left a good feeling after the fact. And then now there's this one. Shortcake 1820. We back to the names.
Gotta show love to the names.
No Keon, though. What have you thought about? Because, okay, so We did kind of overlook that, I guess, in that Minnesota game with no De'Aaron. Keon gets the start. It's the fourth time this year. I believe they've won every game now.
4-0 with them.
Including OKC and Minnesota, by the way. Games without De'Aaron where they won those games, which maybe there's something there, by the way, but I don't really think so. But that is weird. I don't think there is something, but that's weird.
That is.
They also lost to Houston twice without De'Aaron, so fair enough. But what did you think about how Keon played in that one, and also Davion? Because both of those guys, I think, played really well, and they're definitely competing with each other for minutes.
Yeah, I thought they played great, and it has to be tough to go from starting to being completely out of the rotation when the person...
It's the Mike Brown special, though.
Yeah, it definitely is. The person who you started for and played well for, in his place, he's back, and now you don't get any run. So... I mean, that's got to be challenging mentally. And I know they're in the league. Keon just got an extension for 3 years, I believe. So I'm sure he's engaged and feeling good. But I don't know. He played really well. I want to say he had 7 assists last game, 4 steals, a game high. Mm-hmm. And he was really being disruptive. So I'm not sure why we didn't see him tonight, honestly.
Yeah, I'm like torn because I do think that Davion's also been playing pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
Like in that game, I don't remember if this was in the middle of the game or beforehand, but he got told, like, we need you to be more aggressive offensively. Mm-hmm. And he can score, man. Like,
he can
finish, and he's really quick.
Yeah.
Like, I remember one of the things that got pointed out to me when he was drafted was, like, he can stay in front of you, and you can't stay in front of him. And I still think that's true.
I agree.
Decision making could be a little bit better sometimes, but I think that has been better recently. And the shots going down well. I think he hit 3-4 threes in that game against Minnesota.
Yeah. I think he had 16, tied his game high, or season high.
Yeah.
And that's a great point, bro. Like, he's definitely been playing well. He seems to be, maybe it's an internal encouragement that people are kind of putting on him to be more aggressive, but he seems like he's rising to the occasion. It's just challenging. I mean, I don't want to say they have a lot of depth at the guard position, but it seems like Mike is struggling to figure out who to play at what times.
Yeah, which I struggle with because I think it's more so that I'm interested in both options, but don't really love either one, you know?
Yeah.
When it comes to like a comfort level, one of them can do well on any given night, but at the same time, there could be a night where you're just like, ah, we're not getting anything from this right now. And you know, I guess that's, I mean, it's just the reality of sort of where they're at right now. And we've seen a lot of Trey at that backup five recently. Mm-hmm. I feel like And obviously, again, Domas fouling out those two games definitely plays a factor here. But yeah. I feel like a lot of times earlier this year, it was very reactionary. I think we talked about this last time of like, okay, the other team's going small, so we're going to go small. Mm-hmm. And this last one, it was like, now that's Rudy Gobert down there, and we're going to pull this dude out the paint by going small. And I feel like the Trey lineups have gone really well. I feel like he plays his ass off too. Like he's diving on the floor out here.
Yeah.
Calling players only meetings. Hell yeah. You know, like I feel like Trey has been playing pretty well, and I kind of like him at that backup five.
I do too. And even if he's not the only big on the floor when Domas is out of the game, if they're doing him at the four, Alex Lynn at the five, I like situations like those. At one point, they both were doing pretty well in plus minus. They had came in, and I think the only person Trey trailed in plus minus was Keegan, who at the time was on the heater as far as plus minus is concerned. I think he was like plus 17. And they just bring things to the game that don't really show up on the box score. So I do like Trey at the five, the stretch five position, and then a little bit of Trey and Alex.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like Alex has been playing pretty well too. It's funny, Trey, like that like energy he has on the floor, he seems like another one of those like, you know, on the court and off the court, just huge difference. Like from the little interactions we've got to have with him, like he just seems so like chill and down to earth. And not to say that he's not, but you see him out there and it's like, oh, you got some fire.
Like, yeah, he seems like a completely different person.
Last year he put Brooke Lopez in a fucking chokehold.
Yeah,
bro.
It was
like,
getting real. It was getting real.
Yeah, what's going on here?
But I think they might need more of that.
They do, I think.
And
so
I'm not saying
Draymond.
Not necessarily Dre, but when teams are, I don't want to say punking you, but at a certain point running all over you a little bit, you might need a bit more of an enforcer like Trey.
It definitely does happen. I think that's part of like what was probably talked about in that players meeting, because after that Denver game, again, they get hit and they don't really hit back. So I get it. Figs is telling us that there's a bunch of Mike Brown slander, I'm assuming, on socials right now, and fans wanting him fired and shit. This is not the first time this year I've heard about this, by the way. And I think people are insane.
Yeah,
no,
I pumped the brakes on that one.
Yeah, no, y'all gotta relax.
Definitely
like, coach of the year for a reason. And I know the Nick Nurse, Dwayne Casey, coach of the year always gets fired. Not happening.
Yeah.
My thing would be, specifically if we want to talk about the defense, right? I swear this guy's practically crying for help sometimes.
It seems like
you know, of like today, I tried to ask him about, to be honest, I tried to in the nicest way possible and the most professional way, be like, hey, teams are really going at Kevin Herter. Like, how do you deal with that? And I instead went with, you know, when teams are hunting matchups in isolation, how do you kind of go about it? And his first thing is like, you know, honestly, we just kind of got to sit down and guard. Like, these dudes cannot just be blowing past us on the perimeter for no reason. And it's like, at some point, like there's only so many schemes that are going to really help you here. Like they have bad defensive players when it comes down to it. Like, there's a couple okay good ones, but like we're talking about, like, I feel good about Keegan. I feel good about De'Aaron when he's locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Davion, Keon, two dudes that you never even know if they're going to play on any given night.
Right. And then to make matters worse, there's no real rim protector.
Right.
That's currently in the rotation. I give love to JaVale for kind of being that rim protector. But I mean, I don't want to say he doesn't have a lot to work with, but that's kind of the first thing that comes to mind about the defensive issues.
He definitely doesn't. And like, that's just part of the reality of Domas being that five, you know, is that like, you are sacrificing a little bit of, you're sacrificing some defense from offense, which, yeah, I mean, there definitely are a lot of reasons for sure that have to do with it being Domas being your five, but
right.
I've kind of been at the point where it's like, nah, this is your duo, so how do we just make this duo the best rather than like, well, you know, if it was a different big, like, because Domas is super polarizing. There's definitely some people that'll get on him about it, and it's like, this is the duo, you know?
And I don't want to oversell the duo that they have with Domas and De'Aaron, but Jokic isn't really the best defender.
Right.
He's grown into it a little bit more
size, but yeah.
Yeah, bigger than Domas, but last year that was someone who we also could kind of say maybe was hunted at times.
Right.
And obviously him and Jamal, they won a championship. Jokic is two-time MVP, finals MVP. Like, not trying to make that comparison, but you can build around guys who aren't the greatest defenders. And if I had the answers, I'd be a GM in the league, and I'm not right now.
Right.
But that can be an issue that's possibly solved at some point.
I definitely see it. And yeah, just on there's no way coaches. I mean, I guess you'd never say never, but I'd be absolutely shocked if that was even being thought about in the slightest behind the scenes.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I think fans are probably being a little harsh. I can understand the frustration.
Yeah,
I completely can understand the frustration with how up and down the season has been. But at the end of the day, bro, Mike is still a hell of a coach. He's someone who has ample playoff and championship experience. And it's not like you're just going to get another Mike. There's not a ton of Mikes walking around.
No.
So I would definitely pump the brakes on that one.
Yeah, I guess as I pull up any questions that we asked for earlier, the first one, how much is Mike Brown to blame for all of this? And I mean, I think even he would tell you he's not blameless in it, right? There are things that he could have done better, but at some point, the reason he loved to hear about the players meeting is because, like, at some point it needs to come with it from within. Like, right. It can't be my voice, my meaning Mike, over and over. It's got to be, he talks about a guy like Udonis Haslam and what he matters to a team because he's bringing
real heat legend
from internally. Yeah, I didn't even mean to do that for you, but you know. Which, by the way, makes me think of Harrison Barnes today has officially played as many games for the Sacramento Kings as Chris Webber.
Bro, that's
and I know we didn't insane. Really watch Weber like that, but like, or at least I speak for myself, but that's insane.
I wasn't watching a ton of C-Web. I definitely respect him being a
he's like the Kings legend.
Yeah, you know I respect him being a Kings goat for sure, but I don't know. That's shouts out to HB for just being consistent.
Yeah. And he plays like every night.
Bro. Yeah, bro. Like, he played all 82 last year. I don't think he's missed a game this year.
Yeah.
So he is an Iron Man in a sense. Can't really tell which HB you're going to get on a night-to-night basis, but you know it'll be out there.
And I actually thought he was okay tonight. Like, yeah. And same with that. Maybe it's not the Minnesota game I'm thinking of. Maybe it is. Tonight he played really well. Like, it says something that, you know, we feel okay about Keegan's defense, like we're saying, maybe better than okay. And you come into the game plan and it's like, no, we're going to put Harrison on DeMar.
Right.
You know, and I think some people might be like, OK, what the hell, coach? But I felt like he held up.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not going to be him all night is the whole thing is that you're going to go from Keegan to Harrison to Chris Duarte thrown in there. And shoot, we might give you Keon or Davion for a little while just to throw you different looks and keep guys guessing. And I think coach tries to do that. He tried to do that zone for a while. He's like doubling and then not doubling and trying to figure all that out. So I think that he tries.
Yeah. To his credit, you got to give him, you got to give him his props for not being overly predictable as far as defensive schemes go. So I definitely tip my cap for that.
I think we kind of already talked about this, but I'm going to try to read this anyways. From Raiders fan 777. Okay. Not sure about you. Not going to lie. Is the Kings' propensity for losing to weak teams, especially at home, a character issue, or is there something specific roster-wise or scheme-wise that's created this problem? You want to try to take that one? Because there's no easy answer.
Yeah.
If we knew the answer, if they knew the answer, it would slow down.
Preface all this with, if we had the answer, we would probably not be on here and be in someone's front office.
Right.
But I want to say it's not necessarily a scheme thing. It could just be a mentality of there's no real excuse or explanation for it, but if you feel like you're getting up by a certain amount, I want to say they were about 22 tonight.
Mm-hmm. Third quarter. And
you possibly think at that point, okay, maintain and keep doing the things we're doing that got us to this point, but they're just having issues with it. I don't know if it's, okay, we've got it, which by now they shouldn't be thinking because we've seen how many times they've been in these situations, but Raider fan 777, you might have stumped me on that one.
It is a good question. Like, I don't know. And it feels weird to me to talk about character stuff sometimes because, like, we don't know these people.
Yeah, we only know
down to it. But
to a certain extent,
I feel like they get punked. Like, where, again, the run just lasts too long.
Yeah.
The run needs to last half a quarter at most. At most, even then, that's probably a stretch. Like, it really should be like a 4-minute run that we're talking about, where it's going to happen, but it shouldn't take your 22 lead to a tie. It should maybe, you know, we're talking about like 10 or 12 here, like more just normal NBA runs rather than it all of a sudden is, holy hell, what the hell just happened in that quarter, you know? And I think sometimes having a guy like a Pat Bev can be helpful for that, you know?
I think they were down against the Clippers at one point tonight. Pat Bev, I don't know how responsible he was for it, but I definitely saw him at the end of the game trying to hype the crowd up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would never hurt to have someone like that who takes pride in, all right, bro, like, we've seen enough. And that doesn't mean you have to respond with anything other than basketball. You don't want, obviously, anything.
But just play your ass off.
Yeah, but just take pride, get in a stance. Like, all right, you're not scoring on me at this point.
Right.
And if need be, and coaches aren't taking timeouts, it might be time to call one yourself and try to rally the troops and regroup. But it seems like they're lacking that outside of Trey.
Yeah, and I do think ideally you'd have that from one of your, like, quote-unquote leaders, right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to be.
Right.
But it does have to be a guy that plays. Like, before, it used to be like a Shumpert thing. We talked about this years ago when he was around. It's like, that's cool, but you're not really playing. So, right. Like, it's helpful. Same with JaVale. Like, I'd say JaVale is that right now, right?
Yeah.
There's no disrespect. But, like, and I'm sure it's valuable what you bring, but it holds a different weight than when you can go out there and do it at the same time. Because there's, like, the lead by examples and then lead with your words. But the guys that do both, I think, is kind of what I feel like could be lacking a little bit on this team at times. But, again, personality stuff is kind of weird to talk about. Hello, Matt George.
What up,
of
Matt?
The Locked On Kings podcast.
It was good. But, yes, it definitely should be someone who's more involved in the game. And I don't want to say we don't see enough of it from Domas and De'Aaron, but at the same time, I don't think we do.
You could see a little more. I wouldn't mind it, I guess, is what I'll go with.
Yeah.
But also, each person is their own person.
Yeah, each is own.
Like, you can't force it. You have to naturally be that dude, I feel like.
And we were talking about it earlier. That's where we give kudos to Trey, because he seems to have that. Though he might not seem that way off the court, when he's on the court, he's definitely that guy.
Right. Do you have anything else here before we try to do some... Should we do a pulse performer? Just shout whoever you want since these last couple games.
Last couple games. I'm a probably go. I did Dorte last time. Uh-huh. He played solid tonight, so I can't double up and do Dorte again. But probably Trey, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
He called the meeting.
He called the meeting. He, at one point before this crazy run happened, he was definitely like second on the team in plus minus behind Key, and he was playing really well. He hit some timely shots, didn't really do so down the stretch as much, but I'll go Trey.
Trey is a good one. I'm going Davion, but real quick, I guess, because I'm laughing here, right?
Let's see.
Shortcake 182 said, Matt is about to post a mad pod, angry Matt tonight after this
no
loss.
Question. No
the way
question.
He walked by was just very fitting for that. But yeah, check out Locked On Kings. Matt does great work. He's just finishing all his TV stuff and just starting a pod at 11:30. Give this man
yeah,
some flowers. So he's going to be here longer than the court, apparently. So
won't be us.
Yeah, I will go, though, I guess, pulse performer. I'll go Davion, because I do feel like he's been playing really hard. And I think that offensive aggressiveness that you saw in that Minnesota game, like, I need that.
Yeah.
Because what you do out there defensively is great. There is some limitations because you're 6 feet. You know, I think he's just a little higher, but like,
he's not much taller than us.
You've stood like we've stood like,
yeah. And that's part of
with
why
the hair down,
I really rock
I think
with him.
He's like 6 foot, bro. You know,
at best.
Yeah. But he's a dog out there. And but when you're like that and you're a defensive first guy, there's only so much you can do when you're 6 feet, to be honest. And he's cooking out there, but there's like two positions at best, really kind of one that he's kind of guarding. So offensively, he is so fast. After De'Aaron, off the top of my head, he's got to be the second fastest dude on the team. Like Malik is up there too, I'm sure. But he can move.
Man. I would say it probably is him.
And even like there's a move he had tonight where I forget exactly what he does. He does this like snatch back. Mm-hmm. Oh, you just happened to not be looking at that
I
one
know.
Actually.
I miss my dog.
But he does some moves every once in a while where you're like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like I see why you were a lottery pick, low key. Not to
come
be
on
rude,
now.
But like
yeah, I feel you.
And so I think that offensive aggressiveness is big, and sure the threes going down is cool. Honestly, at this point, I just don't think I'm gonna believe until I get like a large sample size of threes to go down. But let me get some of those layups and you know, the middies maybe here and there, maybe some push shots is kind of what we're talking about. He's not a guy that I think his role should be taking middies, but get to the rim and either make plays from there. When you get stops, like sprint your ass off in transition. He's quick as hell. Mm-hmm. And I think seeing him use that on offense has been cool these last couple of games. So I'll go Davion. So cool. You went Trey.
Yeah.
Solid. Little bench squad.
I'm definitely trusting my work. And that's one of the things I'm glad you said. The bench outscored the Bulls bench tonight 38-11.
Chris Duarte scored more than the entire Bulls bench.
I don't know how much more we need to say than that. But obviously, the Chicago starters, I want to say, accounted for 101 points, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which y'all will definitely learn about me in due time. I am not the math guy here, but I took notes before.
102, okay. If I can math. I think I can math.
But they definitely outscored the Kings starters by roughly 30.
Yeah.
So that was the game right there. The bench, they, for the Kings anyway, they definitely held their own. They did what they needed to, but.
Yeah, they did okay.
Kobe White, man.
And I don't know if we mentioned, by the way, they had 20 offensive rebounds tonight, the Kings. I don't know if we might have said that at the beginning, but 20 offensive rebounds and 24 second chance points compared to 12 second chance points for the Bulls. Like, you just, that's a game that you win.
Right.
I'll have to look it up, but I would be shocked if there are many times this year that a team has had 20 offensive rebounds and lost the game.
There shouldn't be.
Like, that's crazy. That's some New York Knicks type shit, you know? Yeah. Where it's like, God, I don't get why they have a good offense, but they just get every fucking offensive rebound and just bully you. Like,
yeah, man.
Yeah. Tough one. Had you ever heard of a, this is not to out you, but
here we go. Yeah, let's see. Let's see.
I realized now I gotta say it.
Let's see.
Number 17 on the Bulls. On your lap.
Bit okay.
Yeah, see, I don't like that combo. Onuralp, O-U-N-O-N-U, sorry, R-A-L-P, Onuralp, Bittim, B-I-T-I-M, legend.
Now,
legend.
Before you asked, you already knew, so the answer to that is no.
Yeah, that would be not really aware. This man has not even played 10 games in the NBA.
Yeah, he came in, he was as effective as he could be, you know, but...
I appreciate the breakdown. Really, that's what I was. You know, yeah.
I wish I had more stats for you, but had not really heard of my man until tonight, and he still kind of did his thing. He came out with the win. What can I say?
He did okay. It's just one of those, like, you know, every once in a while an East Coast team comes in and you're like, wow, I totally forgot about that guy.
I guess that happens.
Or I never knew that guy in the first place.
Very much so. I guess that happens when Lonzo's out for the season. Zach is kind of chilling at this point.
Torrey Craig's just talking shit from the bench and watching.
Definitely kind of kicking it, talking shit. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Kudos to my man.
Yeah.
Balled out.
Agreed. Yeah. Shout out to On Your Lap. I should have. Yeah. I set myself up for that too. I didn't realize as I was starting that I meant I was going to have to say it.
But. Truthfully, you probably did better pronouncing it than I did.
Sure. We'll go with it. I think that we should just go to overtime segment, unless you got anything else that you wanted to get to.
I think we covered it.
I think so. Hold on. I got a soundboard.
Okay.
Wait, do I, or is it on my home computer? No, it's here. Okay. It also was way too quiet last episode, and some of y'all let me know. So we're going to turn this up as I just attempt to talk to you guys through the process. All right. Basketball conversation over. Boom. On to overtime.
I think that was a good one.
It went okay. Solid. It's still a little cheesy, but you know, cheese is all right. What is the last movie that you watched?
Last movie I watched is probably gonna sound nasty, but Dune. At this point, I don't know how many years late, but took me a minute.
Wait,
wasn't
it's
really
years old?
Yeah, bro. Dune came out a while ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, in the second one, it's out now. I want to say just came out recently, and I was like, I want to watch this. It's apparently fucking best movie ever.
Yeah. Is it the one with like Zendaya and
Timothée Chalamet? She was really not in it a ton. I'm going to let you watch.
That's what you were watching for?
Can't confirm or deny that one, but she wasn't in it as much as I thought, but it was a good movie and kind of got me ready for the second one, where it seems she will probably be a little bit more in it.
Okay. But
neither here nor there.
Okay, so I didn't realize it's the second one that came out recently, and that's why. Okay, yeah, I've never seen either. Is that the one where there was all the memes about the popcorn? You know, they were putting like a cover on their popcorn?
Could be, bro. I might have missed that
one. Gonna have to show you this.
I saw somebody riding around it looked like a motorized worm for the
motorized worm.
It sounds crazy.
It does sound crazy.
Sounds insane. But
it sounds like something that
they're standing.
Yeah, you'd have an app to control. You know what I mean?
not going there. But it's almost like I don't wanna do too much and ruin it for you or anyone who hasn't seen it. But there's a book.
Did you read the book?
Of course not.
Okay. Not I thought book. That was about to be yes.
Hell no. Nah. Maybe in time, Tyler, I might check that one out. But to get back to the worm thing, there's like worms all throughout the desert. It kind of is like SpongeBob a little bit, where they were like coming up out of the sand. Don't want to ruin it.
Like serious. The fishing. The SpongeBob thing.
Well,
right?
Yeah, there was like the big worms that were like going through.
Yeah. Oh, the Alaskan bullworm.
Yeah, Alaskan bullworm.
I got you.
That's what it is. Alaskan bullworm. There we go.
Okay. But,
it was a pretty good movie, and I'll definitely be seeing the second one.
So this won't come as a surprise to people, but it was definitely your idea to talk movies.
This was.
I have no clue what the last movie I've seen is.
Come on, let's see. You ain't been streaming nothing?
No, bro. Like, I just be watching YouTube videos and
feel that too.
Playing video games and watching basketball. To be honest, what is the last?
We could switch it up and go last show that you watched.
That's not gonna get any better for me. I'm not gonna lie. probably the last show I watched was probably something true crime related. I'm really into true crime. Okay. Actually, that is that's my genre, I guess. But I can't even think of it off the top of my head. See, I needed to be more prepared than this one.
That's the beauty of overtime, though.
It's true. It's true. No, I don't. Yeah, I got nothing.
Check it out. Go home and watch Dune.
Okay.
Not tonight. Obviously, it's getting pretty late. But
yeah.
At some point before next pod, you should watch Dune.
Okay.
Let me know what you think.
Where do you think I could buy one of these like electronic worms?
I don't know. I'll send it to you. I'll send you the video of the guy that was in the movie theater. But he was... He was very excited to see the movie.
Okay.
It sounds crazy, but if you see the
video of a dude in the movie theater with his electric worm, I don't know.
It's just like a hoverboard almost, and he was like riding around the lobby of the movie theater, bro.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And once you see the movie,
I
know you're looking at me,
bro. I'm so immature. I have so many jokes I want to make right now.
It sounds nuts, but it was fitting for how the movie went.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Dude, I don't know what you're talking about. All right, anybody in the chat, if you have any questions, get them in here before we get out of here.
It is hella long, I'm not going to lie.
It's just said no chance I make it through without falling asleep.
I paused it a few times. I had to re-up on some snacks and whatnot.
Re-up on snacks, okay.
See? You know what I'm talking about, Tyler.
What?
It's people get hyped about this movie, bro. It's some real shit.
Yeah, Tyler said he saw the dude riding around on a worm. What was your question earlier? Sorry if you guys have already answered this, but do you see part of the problem is coaching? We did talk about it a little earlier, Tyler. I don't think Mike is necessarily blameless in any of this because nobody is, but he is down the list of things I would point to. You know, yeah. Things could have been done better. That play with De'Aaron where the inbound happened, like I thought the play was okay. The execution could have been a little bit better, for example. Like, that's not something I look at like, oh, Mike should have been better. Like, there's always specifics of things that could have done better for everybody, but I wouldn't really say that, like, Mike is the one where I'm not coming out of this game like, God, Mike just got killed today, you know? Right.
There were times, obviously, losing a 22-point lead, there could have been times where maybe you call a timeout and try to recalibrate. But
yeah,
again, it shouldn't be coming to a point where you are losing a 22-point lead. And he's on the sideline. He's a coach. There's only so much he can do from the sideline. We've seen early on in games.
He might need to lace up.
He could. You never know. Mike might go out there and get a bucket, get any defensive stands.
Or just start the shit something. Out of somebody. But
yeah,
that sounds more like Mike to me. But
yeah, I don't know, man. He's like you said, pretty low on my like blame list, totem pole, if you want to call it. But he's we've seen him do the early timeouts. If someone's not rotating, someone's not doing what they're supposed to, and this is 3 minutes into a game, maybe. But possibly, I'll say the last thing is he could have tried to stop the run with timeouts, right. But other than that, there's only so much you can really do.
Yeah, and I guess what I would say, if people are apparently up in arms about, not saying you, Tyler, but apparently as socials is going crazy on Mike, that like the best version we've seen of De'Aaron Fox has been under Mike Brown, and I don't think that's a coincidence. There is an aspect of De'Aaron was just going to get better with time, Domas being here, all that. He is unlocked aspects of De'Aaron, of him, the defense that you're seeing, even if it is a little up and down sometimes, like when he's locked in, you're seeing him go crazy on defense. And I think that's something that Mike has been really pushing for. Same with Keegan, you know. So I think that he's definitely done a lot for the main three dudes, which is the most important thing. And as long as those guys have his back, I don't think he should be questioned at all, to be honest. And not questioned.
I know what you
but
mean.
Yeah.
Same goes for Malik. Malik is having his best season.
Yep.
Largely because of Mike. I don't want to say it. I mean, obviously, Malik is the one out there playing and lacing him up and doing what he needs to, but
they definitely have a good relationship.
Yeah, they have that kind of relationship where they can go back and forth, agree to disagree, publicly disagree. And Mike is a big reason why he's doing what he's doing this season.
So rotations are one of the things that Tyler's talking about. Okay, I 100% get the frustration. I would kind of point more towards the front office, though, before I'd point to the coaching staff about the rotations, where he's searching because he doesn't really like any of his options. Or not, you know, he doesn't feel great about any of them. Like when we're talking about this backup center, backup point guard thing, or Chris Duarte going out there, for example, like no hate on these dudes, and they all have their nights where they can be valuable. But like, I don't feel comfortable saying that I know what I'm getting from this guy every single night, pencil him in or pen him in for 20 minutes, you know, like, so I would point towards personally more towards kind of the front office and the roster that he has. And that making him feel like he needs to search. And yes, on the other end of it, like maybe just stick with one of Davion or Keon and stop playing with it so much.
Yeah.
But I also get it.
I was just getting ready to reiterate it, bro, because if he had total belief in his rotation and knew what he was going to get on a game to game basis out of his bench, there wouldn't be the inconsistency that we see with him trying a bunch of different things. And obviously, it's a bit late into the season to try to figure out what you want to do and who's going to do what on a game-to-game consistent basis. But the reality is he hasn't figured it out because guys haven't performed consistently.
Right. So. Yeah.
guys have not really been getting it done. And I think we're going to wrap up out of here. We got the cleaning crew coming going pretty through, hard not far behind us too.
For sure.
And I don't know about you, but I'm down to get home. So appreciate everybody that hopped in here. There definitely will be more of these in the future. Well, I'm sure we'll run back 100%. One later this week. And definitely, you just wrote about Malik after that Minnesota game, right?
Yeah.
Athletic?
Yeah. Talk just a little bit about the moment where we talked about it earlier in the pod, but he and Rudy Gobert got into it a little bit. Malik was standing up for Domas after he got elbowed in the throat. There was a no call right in front of the ref. And Malik just went berserk. Kind of started going crazy after that and won him the game.
It was honestly so fire, actually.
It was really fun to watch. No one could stop him. And that was like the opposite of the night where you knew, in my opinion, it seemed like no matter what the Timberwolves were doing, he was going to find a way to get his or get it for someone else. And tonight seemed like DeMar was playing that role a little bit.
Totally. Definitely see it. I got one of my... I almost said certain words, but this is a guy I grew up with and went to school with, a good friend of mine that is just being an asshole in this chat as usual. It says, "I know what Pistons fans went through, Dale."
Oh man.
Dude, don't even watch basketball. He just comes in here and talks shit. He's so fucking annoying.
Two of my best friends right now are huge Piston fans and have been their entire lives.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Same. So they consistently are blowing the chat up about Killian actually getting minutes before he got cut. Jaden Ivey wasn't seeing as much time. Talk about inconsistent rotations.
Did you see that Knicks game where they pretty much like tackled the Thompson twin, the Knicks, at the end of that game?
Yeah.
And then Monty Williams has this whole thing and like walks out of his presser.
Hell yeah, I would have been pissed too.
Bro, that was crazy.
Yeah.
That play Pistons, was crazy.
Kings are on the up and up a little bit right now. De'Aaron said it's a roller coaster season, which we've seen, but Pistons, they haven't been going up on the roller coaster since 2004. Yeah.
So they're a good bit underground now. You know? We didn't even start that high, actually. Like, there wasn't much of a climb, you know?
It was good. I mean, shouts out Chauncey, Ben Wallace, Rip Hamilton, but that was like, I think I still have baby teeth.
Bro.
I probably had baby teeth at that time. So
for sure. Yeah. Little bit of a tough one for sure. All right. I appreciate you. There's no way, bro. Now I got my other buddies in here. They're definitely in a chat. All right. I'm getting out of here. Appreciate you guys. All my writing, SacktownSports.com, Hunter, TheAthletic.com. It's the, right?
For the site? Athletic.
Okay. Yep. Thank you. Sorry. I should have had that.
You're all good.
But yeah, appreciate you guys hopping in here. Definitely always glad to take any sort of comments on the YouTube side and be answering them in the next episode. So appreciate you guys listening, tuning in. Be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review, and you'll hear from us again next couple days.
Yes, sir.